Benedictus hoc tuis ventris tui, Iesus, Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostre, Amen. Sede sapientiae, in nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. First, I thought we should say something about the spiritual exercises. Now, remember, there are two basic conditions for being a Ignatian catechist. One is to have made the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and the other is to have gone through the course, which, as you know, we were kind of working on until, well, it's called in this semester, on the course, but this is not the place, I don't think, in chapel, to be going over those questions. And now, what I'd like to do is briefly comment on what you should be getting. There's a four-page explanation on how to make a 30-day private retreat following the spiritual exercises. How many of you have a copy of these pages? Well, then, what I did, I made copies for each one of you. So, I think just about, am I correct? Just about everybody needs a set. Now, I don't want to read this here in chapel, I don't think it's necessary. However, do read this carefully and prayerfully. Any typos, either I or whoever the other typing takes the blame for it. First of all, what is the purpose of making the spiritual exercises? The basic purpose is twofold. First, to find out what, in plain English, in my life means reformation or change. And I can say this, no matter how many retreats you've made, can you hear me, by the way? And how many retreats you've made, we haven't made the 30-day exercises. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of knowing why the exercises are made. Now, St. Robert Bellarmine, after he became bishop, then cardinal, would make the 30-day retreat exercises every year. I'm not recommending, I'm just stating a fact. The first purpose, therefore, of making the spiritual exercises is to find out what in my life needs reformation, change, improvement, or, if necessary, even conversion. If there is one thing that anyone who wants to share the faith with others There's one thing that person should know. It is that he or she is a sinner. And the only, and I mean this on, you might say, revealed foundation, the only obstacle to being a channel of grace to others is sin. And consequently, I better know where I stand before God. What, in other words, in my past life, but especially in my present life, is still keeping me from being as faithful and generous with God as there should be. That's the first purpose of the spiritual exercises. To find out, first of all, where I stand and what I need to do. To, and then whatever verbs you use, change, reform, improve, even, if need be, convert. And just for the record, the greatest apostles in history since the time of Christ have been converted sinners. The first pope was a converted sinner. The first theologian, Thomas, was a converted sinner. And of course, the most, might be famous example is Saul, who became St. Paul. Ignatius himself had been, whatever word you use would be correct, had been a big sinner before his conversion. He was converted. And historically, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, the most zealous apostles are those who have been big sinners. Because then they've experienced in their own lives what Christ can do, what he did for me. In other words, I'm not talking from speculative theology. Now, the first week, as it's called, of the spiritual exercises concentrates on that dimension, or that level, if you wish, of making, and it's not called a retreat, the exercises. Then the second purpose, and there are two basic purposes. The second purpose is then to find out, first from my mind, in the light of my past history, in the light of all that I owe Christ, and the more I've sinned, the more I owe him. That's why Christ asked Peter, remember, do you love me more than these, the other disciples? Peter couldn't possibly know how much the others loved Christ. He knew how much he should love Christ, he, Peter, having sinned. So then the second level is to find out from my mind, what does God want me, and the emphasis on me, to do? In extending his kingdom, and if you wish, to make reparation for, expiate my own sins. And it's not just the what, but also the how. And no two of us are the same here. And then, still on the second level, the mind having been duly informed through God's grace, obtained through meditation and prayerful asking for light. Then secondly, with my will, having found out with my mind what God wants me to do to extend His kingdom and how He wants me to do it, then that with my will, I resolve to do what God wants me to do. And notice, it's not the same thing as making a decision. We decide with our minds. We resolve with our wills. So, the second major purpose of the spiritual exercises is to find out first, mentally, what does God want me to do and how does He want me to do it? To extend His kingdom. And then I resolve with my will to do it. And let me tell you, in one sense, the most pragmatic, in another sense, the most historically effective train of apostles, always after Christ and St. Paul. And I say this with complete sincerity, was St. Ignatius. He came into the church at the beginning of the modern age. He dawned, from one perspective, with the invention of printing, who had just not been the same. And, from another perspective, with the rise of Protestantism. So Ignatius does not talk so much about, say, becoming more and more holy, though he assumes that. For St. Ignatius, this is the second major purpose of the exercises. I am indeed to become holy, indeed more holy than I have been so far. And that's a safe statement for every one of us. More holy than I am now. But that becoming holy has a very, I repeat the word, pragmatic purpose in the mind of St. Ignatius. And that is, I've become to become more holy, not precisely to become more virtuous, even precisely to gain heaven or a higher place in heaven for myself. No. It's not Ignatius. The purpose is that becoming more holy and therefore more closely united with Christ, I might become a more effective channel of grace to others. That's it. The long and short of it. And there's one thing, if I talk from now until February the 17th, 1994, I couldn't say too much about seeing the causal relationship between holiness or sanctity and effectiveness in bringing souls to Christ. All the learning of the world, all the erudition, is meaningless unless the one who is teaching and presumably teaching the faith is him or herself united with Christ. Because catechesis, remember, catechesis means teaching the faith to those who already have the faith. At least as a virtue, like children just baptized, they have the virtue of faith. The moment a child is baptized, it has received the virtue of faith. But it's one thing to have either the virtue of faith or even have had some training of the faith. it's something much more to grasp, to understand, to penetrate into the meaning of what I believe. And that's where you people hopefully come in. That you yourselves may become so knowledgeable of the faith in your own minds that then you can share that faith with others. Let me repeat. The knowledge of the faith per se is meaningless unless the one who teaches others is himself closely united with Christ. Only holy people are catechists. Nobody else is. Take a genius, Aeschylus, and he is a genius. He has written a shelf of books. You might say he's teaching the faith. Well, God knows what the effects are. But there's no way that a man, I use him as an example because I want to be concrete. The man intellectually is superb intellectually. But all that I know about him, all that I know from his writings, the man lacks, and I'm being recorded, lacks the humility that anyone who wants to teach the faith to others has to have. He doesn't have it. Back to the exercises. The second purpose, therefore, of the exercises is that I might not just know what God wants me to do, but resolve with my will that I'm going to do it. And whatever else you do as Marian Ignatian catechists, whatever else you do, you better become more holy. You better draw closer to Christ. Otherwise, all the erudition is not only wasted effort, it can do positive damage. Can do, it does. So having said that regarding the exercises and their purpose, first call it reformation, and the second purpose then is, let's call it affirmation. In my mind, I found what God wants me to do, and then I resolve with my will to do it. Well, it may be that when you finish the exercise, you may decide, I don't think I should be a Marian Ignatian catechist. Fine, but let me know. I think I told all of you, some of you, about Shelley Penafather. Remember Shelley? Shelley, living in Virginia outside of Washington, wanted to be a Marian catechist. So I told her, but Shelley, you haven't made the exercise yet. All right. So she decided on a day when she was going to make the exercise. I should say that Shelley was also a professional basketball player. After she set the date for making the exercises, she gets a letter from Tokyo inviting her to come to Japan, right here, to train the Japanese women athletes. So she calls me up, Father, now what do I do? Very simple. Tell them you take the job. However, you make a retreat in Tokyo. I must have told you this. Can I tell you the story? Can I ever tell this story? Some of you heard it. Well, so she went to Tokyo, and she called me up 3 times a week from Tokyo on making the 30-day exercises. All on Japanese, and got the money. They paid for everything. Clear as a bell. By the time she finished the retreat, she had a contract with the Japanese, so she had to finish the job in Tokyo. But she decided she wants to be a contemplative nun. So last time I saw her, said mass for the poor Clares in Virginia, Never Shelley, in the back of the chapel, tallest of course of the whole community, way back, and very happy. The purpose of the exercises is to change one's life. If it doesn't do that, you're wasting your time. And you haven't made the exercises. I know. And it will change your life if you make them for the better. Now, how many still have to make the spiritual exercise? Put up your hands. Most of you. Well, now, what I've done over the years, because this is going on 8 years that I've been organizing both the Marian and Ignatian Catechist, and others who make the exercises, is I recommend that the people start on a certain day, and if it's possible that then I would meet. Now this can be a kind of an opening meeting, but we can decide on a date even before today is over. And then for 30 days to make the exercises. And you start the night before the first day. Then you go on for 30 full days. Then you finish the exercises on the morning after the 30th day. That's the sequence. And what I am willing to do, of course I've got to know my schedule. I thought I'd just tell you, you know, my stay in Detroit, it would help a lot if we could be in some contact. Now, I'm in Detroit to the afternoon of March the 19th. I am giving, however, a 10-day seminar to Mother Teresa's sisters in Detroit, the Midwest region. They're coming to Detroit, and then from the 8th to the 18th. However, evenings, that we work out some kind of a system. So I'll be in Detroit to the Feast of St. Joseph, March the 19th. Then I'll be in Mexico up to the 28th of March. And this is well to know, because we can be in contact. I want to work with you as much as now make the time. We will have to work out a system, because obviously I've got various responsibilities. Now I'll be back in Detroit from the evening of March the 28th to mid-afternoon of April the 2nd. I'm in Dallas. Give your retreat through Holy Week. And I return to Detroit on Easter Sunday evening. Then I'm back in Detroit from Easter Monday to mid-afternoon of the 16th of April. When I'm in Chicago for three days. Back in Detroit then, every one day, the 24th, and then I may be again out of the country from the 25th of April for a week. But as I've told you more than once, the Marrying Nation Charity was organized because the Holy See wants this. And not just the United States, but other countries too. So whatever time is needed, I'm ready to give it. Now, to make the exercises, and that's the term we use, most people are used to making call it a retreat or the exercises privately in seclusion or solitude in what we call a retreat house. And I've done that. I've given the 30-day exercises to individuals. I was with him for 30 days. Priest in Boston, for example, I gave some lectures in Nebraska for a month. He wanted to make the exercises. I told him, fine. You can get lodging, which he did. He got lodging where I was staying. So then for 30 days, we teach each other for 1 hour a day after my classes. But obviously that's out of the question here. There was no way that I could do that. Nor have I been doing this for 8 years. The usual method that I've been following, Ignatius did that way back in the 16th century. Before they had telephones or faxes or anything like that. I know when the person is beginning the exercises and then when they would finish. And I want to meet with a person or persons, and with a group of you, it would be good for me and good for you too if there was a set time when you would begin and a set date when you would finish. That I could budget my own schedule somehow to be of service. But let me tell you, we've got to do this very judiciously. Now, for the record, until the 8th of March, when I give the seminar to Mother Teresa's sisters for the Midwest here in Detroit, to the 8th of March, I'm tied up with finishing a manuscript. Well, more than a manuscript, it's the explanation of all the answers to 2,200 questions. And this is needed by Mother Teresa's sisters throughout the world. So I just express mailed the explanation for lesson 20 5. And I thought we had 11 lessons to go. And the average is about 2.5 explanations per page. So I've got about 120, 140 hours of writing. And having been doing this over the years, it still takes time. Writing at 1 o'clock in the morning is not unusual. Catholic. Otherwise the work wouldn't get done. I'm being very open with you. Now, if you want to begin the retreat, otherwise known as the exercises, sooner, well, what we could do, and depend on you, actually, most of the people that make the exercises that somehow I direct, and there can be, I'm not exaggerating, like maybe 1 or 2 15 or 20 minute telephone calls a week. And just no choice. For example, in Washington, where there were two groups, one in Virginia, another one in Washington. In late September, a group of 30 lay people came to Washington, paid my transportation. I came there for just that purpose, to spend 2 hours one evening in late September. Came back the next morning. They wanted to spend the month of October making the exercises. Business people, government people, they had heard the exercises, really, work. There were 30 people. Of course, I came back the next day. There's no way that I could be in more than a periodic telephone call. Am I clear? Now, what we might do is up to you. I am, as I said, in Detroit, except for a day here and there. For example, Saturday I'm leaving for Chicago to speak at all the masses in one parish in Chicago on Sunday, promoting learning the faith and distributing copies of the sign up for the course organized by the pastor. In the afternoon I was speaking in the parish hall of another parish, same thing, organized by the pastor. Right. So here and there I'll be out for a day or so, but I'm basically home in Detroit. So for that 10 days that I'll be tied up with the sister, but even then, I make myself available. What we can do, the least we can do, and those even who have already made the exercises, could come anyhow, if you wish. What we can do is make the Wednesday nights here in chapel retreat meetings. Does that make sense? I would also be willing, and it's not a question of just willingness, but I've got a conscience. I'd be willing to be here one other night a week, so we could meet. Now, you couldn't come on the other night, I'd understand. Am I making sense? I'd be willing to meet with those making the exercises 2 nights a week. Here in Detroit. But I have to know when you'd want to start and when you want to finish. Now, others would be welcome because, believe me, the exercises are not just. They're not an academic, you might say, experience. They are a spiritual experience. So, now, since, how does this sound to you people? I will be in Detroit, as I said before, until the Feast of St. Joseph. Easter, this year is April the 11th. Now, it would be realistic, obviously, when I am out of the country, telephone calls, I have done that even. People would call, well, I mentioned Shelley, the call from Tokyo. When I was overseas, people would call from the United States. Because, let me tell you, in dealing with things of the Spirit, money is no consideration. But realistically, in other words, I'll be out of circulation then, the dates that I mentioned. I'm free until March the 19th. Now, if you'd want to. Now, if you want to take some other time for making the exercises, that's up to you. On the other hand, and this is what St. Ignatius, and for 400 years, even, for example, entering the Society of Jesus has always been set for a particular time, because not long after entering the Society of Jesus, we all have to make the 30-day exercises. So that have a definite time would be good if, say, not all of you, most of you could make the exercise at the same time. Now, today is what? 17th, right? I am I finish on March the 18th with the Missionaries of Charity. And then, if you want to, what if you started the exercises? What if you started, say, well, tomorrow night? That's the evening of the 18th. Then 30 days. Where would that leave us? 30 days. See, February is only 28 days this year.
March 19th.
If you started, in other words, that's, so it's, how many days would be left in February? If you started tomorrow night, that would leave you 10 days in February, right? 10 days in February. What do you mean? 20 days in March. You're coming out the morning of the 21st. Well, what? That's one possibility. In other words, yes, I see the longer stretch for about 2 months that I would have, where I would be available in Detroit. Now, don't misunderstand me. The exercises have been made by people who, well, very much on their own. On the other hand, or for that matter, well, you didn't expect this. And then those of you who are married and go back to your wife, you know what? What? I began my 30-day exercises. If we began tonight, then you come out, finished, that is, on the, yep, the 19 days in March, right? 11 days in February, 19 days in March, come out in the morning of the 20th. Well, that would be the longest stretch that I've ever, I mean this. May I ask, this is kind of sudden for most of you, but I just thought, if we prolong this any longer, no human nature should be beginning with my own. See, we're all congenitally postponers. Do you know that? All of us, postponers. That's human nature. If we start tonight, and this present of the Blessed Sacrament is our first meditation. How's that? And then 19 full days through the month of March, 19 full days in March, plus the 11 days starting tonight. And then what I can do, and this is also part of the adjustment, I'd want you to remain in retreat, as we say, through the morning of the 20th. But then what I can do is give you, this is what we also give, a papal blessing. Came with it a plenary indulgence at the close of the retreat. If you wished, and we couldn't meet on the night of March the 19th because I'll be leaving in the afternoon for San Diego on the way to Tijuana. But we could meet at the night of the 18th of March for the meditation and papal blessing. You still have one more day. Does that make sense? Now, today is Wednesday. Now, as I said, I am willing to have, you know, call it two retreat meetings a week. And we would meet then on the 24th, which happens to be what day of the 24th? Ash Wednesday. So, however, now the two possible manuscript. Now, does somebody have a copy, or I have a copy here? Who remembers what, in other words, what the first, how many days is the first week going to hear this thing last? Remember? Yes, fourth day is retribution for sin. And the fifth day is the kingdom of Christ. Now this is the kingdom of Christ meeting opens the second week, even though I have second week following. So what we could do, and I'm willing, and more than willing, because this is, for me, is God's will. Either, if we begin tonight, if Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, as you people know, I'm in Ann Arbor. No, I'm not. Not this Sunday. I'm in Chicago. Monday, I'd be open. That would be then. So, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That would be then the beginning of the second week. So, I'm making a commitment. I want to make sure, however, that you people take it, I don't know what term to use, as seriously as I do. Now, in other words, this is not, I repeat, this is not lectures, this is not academic, this is profoundly supernatural. And the grace that God gives during these exercises, I mean it, are extraordinary. Was it really, you know, gives himself to the exercises. Then what I would do then, I'm willing to do it, is meet Monday night, 7 or 8:30. Then Wednesday would remain as usual. And then they could work it out. In other words, that we would meet. By the way, I've never done this in my life. In that just this way. But I want to make sure that you people, I keep repeating myself, are serious about this. In other words, and I also be available after the say, we met from, say, 7 to 8:30, for that matter, we could meet from 7 to 8, either way. And normally, as you know, I make my telephone appointments, and like Wednesday nights, I make them after we finish here. But I would just change everything. I make myself available. We can meet maybe for 1 hour. Then I'd be available for... Now, I don't want to call it exactly private conferences because that would be misleading. But confession. And then what I do when I give retreats, that is, what we call closed retreats, like I do in Chicago, for regular retreats every year in Chicago. Usually 70 people make the retreat at each session. Then I have a priest working with me, and between us, we divide the confessions. Now, there is usually a priest or priests available for confessions. And by the way, one condition for making the exercise is making a general confession. This is one way that, one of the conditions for making the spiritual exercises. We not have to make to me, but to a priest, you see. But I would be then available for, call it private, I don't want to use the word exactly conference, but you know what I mean, where a person, what I do when I give a closed retreat, normally, depending on the numbers, is 15 minutes. Now, since we could even somehow organize this, in fact, it would be real if some one person would be the coordinator for the group. You follow me? Because then I would make even appointments. Now, I would then, I'd be then available for two nights a week. And it could be, as I say, I could either talk for an hour and a half, or I could have for 1 hour. For that matter, I think it wouldn't be less than an hour. I don't think it would be worth it. But then, with 1 hour, hour and a half, I make myself as available as my doctor allows me to get my 6 hours of sleep. I do have mass at 6:30. Two weeks of each month. Now, for the rest of this week, I still have 6:30 Mass at the parish church at Jesu. But then, the following 2 weeks, are there 2 weeks left in February, running into March? Then, I don't have 6:30 Mass, so I can stay up later. But, I mean, there's not many to stay up. And I know my fellow Jesuits know me, my rector knows me, and I know him, having taught him his theology. So, what do you think? In other words, may I ask, if we did then, consider this the opening. I didn't really plan this quite this way to look at my calendar. How many of you, another, I have to put it this way, would be willing, could, whatever word I use, and begin the exercises this evening with this is before the Blessed Sacrament, and then the directives that I've given you, 4 pages, read them very carefully, and the idea being that now I might have to make some modifications because those directions were not exactly made for the present, but instead for the present group, because those directions are made for people who are making the exercises pretty much in my absence, except, as I said, when I would meet the people at the beginning of the 30 days. I did that in Virginia for the 30-some people. I did that again in Washington, about 25 people. And we met just once. Then I did what I could to keep in contact with them by telephone. But as I'm finding out, I have telephone appointments, but Arsenius picked up some of them. I looked at the number upstairs. I got the answer machine upstairs. It said 18 for today, but it goes some days much higher. And I'm even under direction from my superiors, because they, by now, they know me. By now, you're also coming to know me too. There's no limit to what I won't do. What do you do? To bring a soul closer to Christ. Sky is the limit. So I don't want to spare myself in any way, but we've got to use our heads. So, to go back to where we were, how many of you could then begin the retreat as we're talking tonight for 30 days, and then that Wednesday nights would be an absolute commitment? And if it is humanly possible, I'll be here then one other night each week. If it was humanly possible, then you also would be here. And then we finish the exercises officially on the morning of the 20th, but then we could meet the night of the 18th, which is the last for the evening that I would be in Detroit, and then for a good month. So I think I have to do this. Can I ask for a raising of the hands? God bless you. Now, as you realize, this is not academics. This is spiritual life. Life is all about, let me tell you, the closer you get to eternity, everything, in other words, everything in this world, everything becomes absolutely meaningless, zero, except as a means of reaching heaven. Meaningless. Except as a means of reaching heaven. And nobody gets to heaven alone. Either we help others get there, we won't make it ourselves. That's our faith. So then, I have my clock. Our next. And because this is then, we're making the exercises, understand? So all the meetings from now on, we call them quotes meetings, all our sessions here in chapel from now on until the evening of March the 18th, it'll be on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. That clear? And what we'll do then is I will be available. I'll be here. Then we'll have another. Our next meeting is next Monday, okay? Monday evening, 7 to 8:30. And then at 8:30, I'll just block out all of the appointments and then be as available for private conference, confession, whatever. Is that fair? Now tonight, my next telephone appointment is 9:30. And I have I will finish my office. I have anticipated for the next day. I still have my examination of conscience to make. I have room to make the examination of conscience twice a day, 15 minutes each day. That, by the way, is one thing that should be the result of this exercise. Are these exercises, not that you're going to spend 50 minutes twice a day. No. But you examine your conscience every night. At least for 3 or 5 minutes. We need it. So, in fact, at 8:30, I'll be available then. Is that fair? And now, it would be well, may I ask, now, Cecilia, you're the, you're kind of here, and could I ask you to be the coordinator? Is there a coordinatrix? The feminine gender is. Cecilia? Is that okay? In other words, to know exactly who's making the exercises. Understand? And then to also plan with whom I'd be meeting, you see? And then periodic telephone calls. I'll be as available as I can be, but you realize that you have so many hours per day and so much energy per human being. Now, how much time should we spend in prayer? The minimum is an hour and a half a day. In other words, it can be either there are three meditations for each day. It can be either 3 half-hour periods each day, or, 45 minutes plus 45 minutes, but then cover the contents of the three meditations. Am I clear? However, aim at, and I mean this, aim, however, at closer to 3 hours a day. I've never done this kind of thing in my life. Sorry, my friend. That's the way it is. Now, when we made our spiritual exercises in the novitiate, when I entered, we had 5 meditations each day. 5 a day. And 1 half-hour preceding each meditation in chapel for called points for the meditation. That meant 5 times an hour and a half each day. 30 full days. Now, 1/3 of the exercises, I went into the nearby woods and just shouted out loud to know that I could still talk to reassure myself. I still have my voice. Uh, Now, as you can tell from the directives, which have to be somewhat modified because of the, they are immediately meant for people with whom I would not be in the kind of personal contact that I will be available for you. You can do your regular work. You need to be running your family, however, and knew what you're doing. And I would say no newspapers, no television. Just makes sense, right? What you have to do, I don't mean just business, but even things you have to take care of, do it. Now that was already in St. Ignatius' time in the 16th century. Because that's how the Jesuit order got started. As a layman, he was doing this. Oh, my gosh. For 14 years as a layman. In fact, he was in jail several times, put in by the Inquisition. A layman preaching. Must be one of the heretics, because the Spaniards heard that. Well, in Germany and Switzerland and Denmark, there are all kinds of heretics. Remember, this is the 16th century. Luther broke with the church in 1517. St. Ignatius was converted in 1520. Talk about providence. So, he may just spend some time in jail, too, preaching as a layman. But you can do your regular duties, when you, whatever your work is. Now, especially on weekends, but if possible, as many days as you can, try to get in 3 hours of prayer if you can. I would urge, and this is, I think it's in writing here, to get some Mass and Communion every day. Now, many of you, most of you are already doing this. Then, as I said, to make a general confession. It does not have to be to me. And it should be for your, I have to put it this way, for your past life. Then, once you make the exercises, the policy is to make a general confession from the time the last general confession was made, which is normally a year. And when we're starting also, by the way, and hopefully by early March, we will start. We have a newsletter which has been coming out periodically for the Marian Catechists, but we're starting a newsletter for both Ignatian and Marian Catechists together, with sections for the Marian Catechists, sections of the Ignatian Catechists. But the newsletter as such will be for both the Marian and Ignatian Catechists. And I just got a call today from the two names that you should all know, by the way. You might also remember these numbers. The number of John and Dolores O'Connell in Washington. Now, they live in Kensington, Maryland, which is just outside of Washington. They just built a new home. They have no children, but they are in charge of the publishing house that we have in Washington called Intermorifica. They were with me in Rome, and with Bill Daniel were there. John, you already had left for the States, and the brothers there, Marian Ignatian Catechists, with us in Rome. But their phone number is 301 949 4840. 301-949-4840. The other ones were calling at 9:30 tonight. Now, there's another number which I may have it here. Yes. Now, these are the, in other words, I can use the term, the international headquarters for both the Ignatian and Marian Catechists is in Washington, to be specifically in Kensington, Maryland. And there are three phone numbers. The one that I just gave you is the home number of John and Dolores. I witnessed their wedding on La Vista Valeria Mount Carmel in 1988. And John works for the government, agriculture department. Some of you met John at the last nation retreat we had. And Dolores teaches University of Maryland. She has a doctorate in nursing education. And I think God will have to work a miracle for them to have a child. But they bought a new home, and the ground for that home is exclusively for Marian Ignatian Catechists. So now the intermarifica number, that's the number for the publishers, is same area code 301. It's 942-9577. And there's recording machinery there. And the fax number, this is also important. The fax number, in other words, these are the offices for the Marian Ignatian Catechists. The fax number is same code, 301-942-9572. 942-9572. As John and Dolores O'Connell. Now, to illustrate, Carlos Sanchez, with whom we met in Rome, sent a letter, and he sent it to this address in Washington, and they got the letter in Washington. Must have been sent express mail. At any rate, tonight over the telephone I hear the contents of the letter from Cardinal Sanchez. He's coming to the United States. Now, if it is humanly possible, I'd like to have all of you meet Cardinal Sanchez. He speaks perfect English. He's from the Philippines. And that's when we met in Rome. His own schedule, but he wants to cooperate in every way possible because he realizes, as the Holy Father realizes, we're going to even preserve the faith, not to say spread the faith. Dedicated lay people must be involved. And two lay people coming to the class at Ann Arbor, they want to. Anywhere in the world, Father. Married couple. Wherever you think we should go, we'll go. And all we want is just, you know, a place to stay, a place to sleep, enough food to keep us alive. Now, I'm not recommending this to all of you. I'm just saying, we need dedication. So, and this is the purpose of the exercise, to find out, you know, where the Lord is leading you. Because my hope, my confident hope is, that long after the Lord calls me into eternity, you people will be doing His work and spreading the gospel. So the plan then is that we will meet the next time on Monday here at 7 o'clock this coming Monday. Okay? Now, got 10 minutes, and are there any questions? Now, unfortunately, you know about my hearing limitations. Are there any? Put something on paper, would you? Can you please give us a blessing at the end of all our meetings after our prayers? Yes, I sure will. So, is there any explanation or reasoning to reconcile the difference in our Lord's directives to the recipients of His miracles? In some cases He said, tell no one. In others He urged full disclosure. For example, man possessed in Mark, tell all. Jairus' daughter, tell no one. And clearly, Christ had a different purpose, both because of the nature of the miracle and the nature of the people that He was talking to. But there's another reason, and that is prudence. Even though, and Christ foresaw, remember, more than once, He told them to say nothing. The evangelist says, and no sooner they leave the place, He told everybody. Well, there's great wisdom. In other words, Christ was exercising prudence. So we are to exercise prudence. That doesn't mean that everybody that we deal with will exercise prudence. In other words, Christ wants to make sure that in following Him, He practices the one virtue which the church calls the queen of all virtues, which is prudence. Okay. My catechism says Catholics believe that individuals' conscience is the ultimate determinant of what is wrong or right for that individual. My catechism book. Is that what I wrote? I mean, I just wonder. Did I say that?
No.
Now, who wrote this question? Is it my book that says this?
No.
See, my hearing is. I don't have a hearing aid on. No. Okay. Well. No, then the objection. I thought the Bible and tradition is the ultimate determinant of right and wrong. What is the truth? Well, no, the Bible and tradition is the ultimate determinant. Now, a lot of people write books. They don't know really what they're saying. They use words, they don't understand the meaning of words. So it may be. It may be.
Oh. I have highlighted. See, these are the sections on there. I think they're wrong.
So, and before that, the commandments, Jesus' words, and the New Testament scriptures generally speak about the appropriate use of sex. Generally speak about the appropriate use of sex. However, they do not clearly or explicitly deal with artificial contraception, direct sterilization, abortion, euthanasia, masturbation, premarital sex, or homosexual acts. The official church, in various contemporary declarations, seeks to give guidance on those particular points and judges their teaching as quite authoritative or binding. And then this comes in. Catholics believe that individual conscience is the ultimate determinant of what is right or wrong for that individual. Well, saying that moreover God will judge us according to the fidelity with which we have followed our conscience. Nevertheless, this conscience needs to be formed by objective standards of moral conduct. Well, it's too late. Once you've said that conscience is the ultimate determinant, once you say that, then what you say after that? This is very, very shrewdly written. It's meaningless. Now, what do we mean, and it's A27. What does the church teach? Certainly, subjectively, I must follow my conscience. Because it's my mind telling me what's right or wrong. But I have the prior duty, and the word is prior duty, to make sure that my conscience has been duly informed and enlightened. And for a Catholic, the conscience has not been duly informed unless and until I know what the church teaches. You don't say that Christ is not explicit on homosexuality or contraception. My God! After almost 2,000 years, human mind is ingenious in the kind of evil it can conceive. That's why Christ founded the church. So that as in contraception, universal in the Roman Empire in which Christianity was born. The only reason that contraception was considered evil by anybody was because of the Catholic Church's teaching after the coming of Christ. As a nation becomes paganized, it then lapses back, well, to pre-Christian immorality. So what this is, I will ask later, but let me say, this is horrendous. That's spelled HORRENDOUS. Thanks. Now, shall I finish these answers before we break up? What is a general confession? A general confession is a confession that covers all the grave sins. First definition covers all the grave sins that a person has committed, either in one's whole past life, which is what this general confession should be, or at least all the grave, that is, mortal sins committed since the last general confession. That's the basic meaning. Now the second meaning. Once a person has decided to follow Christ more faithfully than, say, they have been doing before they make the exercises, then a general confession means confessing all the, well, I won't say grave sins, because the last thing that St. Ignatius expects, hear it, the last thing that St. Ignatius expects a person who has made the exercises is to commit a mortal sin. Do you hear me? You know the purpose of making the exercises? Well, then, the general confession, same term, means making a confession from the last general confession made and covering the principal sins that a person has committed, approximate frequency, assuming that they are not mortal sins. Am I clear, therefore? Two definitions of general confession. Okay. Next question. I'm now reading Phenomena of Man by Teilhard de Chardin. As a Jesuit, was he a man of God as he wrote this book? Would you turn off the recorder, please? Can you bless a crucifix to be used with the way of the cross? Well, to be blessed, to be used in making the way of the cross, yes. Before we, tonight, I'll give a blessing just for that purpose, okay? Yes. Concerning the recent article on the former nun who chairs the Religious Studies Department, U of D, Mercy, would you mind turning off? Did you get some response? Okay. I think it's a good idea. I think we covered the questions. So, thank you. By the way, you can always make them a second time. So, in other words, what I mean is this. Even if a person had made the exercises, they can make them again. No problem. Highly recommended. So, do you want me to read this? Is that what you want me to read? Dutch progress, is that what you want me to read? A reader from Fayetteville, North Carolina, sent a clipping called from Monato, a publication printed in Esperanto, coming on some new developments in the Netherlands. At an ecumenical conference last year, noted that while Protestant churches have no shortage of ministers, the Catholic Church does. But progressives are solving the shortage by allowing a growing number of pastoral co-workers, unordained lay folk, to lead services and preach. Also, according to the report, one Calvinist minister revealed at least three Dutch provinces have Catholic bishops who permit the Calvinists to lead services in Catholic churches. And one church, the parish, quotes, is paying for the studies of a Protestant Dutch Reformed woman has already begun her pastoral work in the parish, unquote. Daniel, is our recording on? Is our recording on? Did you turn it off? The meeting then next Monday, 7:30. But it'll be on the spiritual exercises. And tonight, I'll be available till shortly before. Yes, before. Shortly before 9:30. But then, if you would, am I making sense? In other words, meetings that we can have, I meet with you people individually and privately. And Cecilia will have, she's available, and what we're doing now, by the way, we have an answering system.
Father, that's the purpose of the list. The purpose of the list is so that I can contact people and set up appointments. The purpose of the list with the names of the retreatants